Chapter 13, Matthew 13. If I were to tell you a story about a fox that wanted a grape, and he went to the grapevine, but they were just out of his reach, and he jumped, and he'd get a running start, and he'd leap for that thing, and he just couldn't get it. He looked at the grapes and he decided, they're probably what? Sour anyways. They're just sour grapes. That's where we get that phrase, sour. But what is that called? It's called a fable, right? That's from Aesop's Fables. It teaches something about life from a story, so to speak. We're going to be studying something that I think is certainly along that same vein, but really will help you to learn spiritual truths from what we call earthly stories. We're going to begin a study on parables. But before we do that, before we ever get started, I'd like to see if there's any testimonies tonight. It's been a while since we had any testimonies. I'd love to see somebody that has a testimony just say, listen, praise God because, and then you fill in the blank. Anybody at all? Yeah? Amen. What a victory. Praise the Lord. He said he's excited that Tiffany came this morning, his wife. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Very good. Ms. Kim? Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Kyle. Amen. Amen. Elizabeth? Amen. Very good. Very good. Anybody else? All right, let's go ahead and read the first couple of verses of Matthew 13, verses 1 through 3. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables. And that's really where we're going to stop right there. During his earthly ministry, Jesus went about teaching and preaching in many different places, and he frequently used parables. Warren Wiersbe said that at least one-third of Jesus' recorded teaching is found in parables. I thought that was interesting. And I think certainly some of the most rememberable things that Christ has said were in the midst of his parables. So I think it's proper for Christians today to ask just a few questions. Things like, what is a parable? Why did Jesus teach in these parables? What are they about? How should we interpret them? Listen, these are questions because if we don't get these teachings right, we can be steered off in the wrong direction as far as our doctrine or as far as any kind of point in theology is concerned. So we're going to be really tonight looking at how and why we should be studying parables. And if we have time, we'll get into a little bit about the kingdom of God because that's really what most of them are meant to reveal. But if not, we'll finish that next week. Let's look at the definition of a parable. The word parable is a transliteration of the Greek parabole. It means really to place beside or to cast along. As defined by Vine's Expository Dictionary, it signifies a placing of one thing beside another with a view of comparison. So, as many of you have heard before, it's a a story that places, it's a story that places one thing beside another for the purpose of teaching. It puts the known text next to something unknown so that we can learn. Listen, you may know some truth about the physical world, and I can try to teach you about something you've never seen or heard of before by using what you already know. And Jesus Christ was a master of that. And so a parable can usually be identified by the worst, by the use of the word like. So not only is the word, do we look at the word's meaning, but how is it used in the New Testament? It's usually a story or some sort of narrative drawn from nature or human circumstances from which spiritual lessons can be made by comparison. Now, a common definition of a parable is something you've heard probably since you were little. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, right? So the next question that people ask many times are, why did Jesus teach in parables? Why does he use those things? Is it just to help us to understand things that we might not really comprehend otherwise? I think that's a part of it. But people ask, why didn't he just teach it straightforwardly? Why did he use parables? Well, to understand, we're going to consider a few things. Really, the first thing we need to consider is the purpose of the parables. The primary purpose of the parables was to conceal. Now, that's interesting, right? Here he is teaching truth. You'd think he'd want everybody to understand it, but really he's teaching that in that method to conceal the truth. The disciples' attitude was such that they were blessed to learn the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Look at verses 10 through 12 here in chapter 3. It says, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speak thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and hath more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." And so he would explain the parables in private to his disciples, but to the people he would give this teaching. And you know really what it came down to is by resorting to parables, Jesus effectively separated the truth seekers from the curiosity seekers. You understand, there wasn't any kind of social media back then. You couldn't just follow somebody. You had to go out, leave your house, and follow somebody. And so when news began to spread that something was happening or somebody was teaching or somebody was preaching, what would happen is he would start to draw large crowds. But, you know, it still happens today. You know, a crowd draws a crowd. And when something like that happens, you might get a lot of people around. And as he begins to teach and to preach these different parables, people would hear. And those people that were interested would do what? Explain that to me. Teach me what you're trying to say. I don't understand. But those people that are just there for the show, so to speak, would get up and leave. I'm reminded of one of the first Billy Graham crusades that I ever saw on television. I'd only been saved a short time, and they had basically a rock concert. I think it was right there in Nashville where I was living. And they had, the contemporary, the CCM. So like I said, it was a rock concert right before the service. And what happened is when Mr. Graham got up to preach, the aisles were filled with people leaving. They were there for the show. And it's not surprising at all, but that's kind of what was happening in Christ's day. They were just coming out, I don't know, to be entertained, but out of curiosity. They weren't seeking truth necessarily. They were just seeking something new. Indeed, Jesus also used parables to carry out divine judgment. As I read in verse 12, for whoever has a good heart or listening ears, I'm going to give them more. To those that are truly seeking, those that are responding to the light that I've given them, I'm going to help them to understand. But those people that aren't, they're going to go away thinking, you know what a great story that I heard today. That was interesting. You ever talk to somebody about a message they've heard? Maybe the same message you heard, and to you it moved mountains, and you ask somebody and you think, you know, what do you think about a chapel service, or what do you think about this service or that service, and you're just brimming over with something that the Lord gave you, and what happened? They say, well, they went kind of long. What? He spoke kind of slow, or they find some trivial thing that has nothing really to do with the message at all, and here you are really on fire about something the Lord gave you, and you know, somebody else doesn't get anything. What's the difference? Not only was it to conceal, but there was another purpose, and it was to reveal. Even though the primary purpose in telling these parables was to conceal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven from the multitudes, for once the disciples finally understood the meaning, the basic meaning of the parables. The comparison of the known, the earthly truths with the unknown, or the heavenly truths, would shed further light then on the unknown. So, always with the Lord's help, and His explanation of His parables, we can learn about more about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Look at verses 34 and 35 in that same chapter. It says, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake He not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And so Christ, in fulfilling the prophecy set before Him, spoke often in parables. Leads us to another question. What then are the parables about? Flip your page back to verse 11. I think this gives us a clue, certainly. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. You need to understand that the mysteries simply are something that is revealed to us today that was not revealed to people in time past. All right, if you would have went to the children of Israel and you said, where are we going to put the church? And the tabernacle's over there and the camp's over there, and you have everybody located where they need to around the camp. All we need is a good Baptist church. They would have said, what are you talking about? They had no idea about a coming church age. But we have been given the mystery of the church. Certainly they knew about a Messiah, they knew about a Redeemer, they knew about the promised seed, but they did not know who it was going to be. You know what? It's been revealed to us. It's no longer a hidden fact, something that we have to look forward to. It's a mystery that's been revealed, if you will. And so a mystery is something that is not still a mystery to us today necessarily, but it was something that was hidden from people in times past and has now been revealed to us. And so the Lord used many different parables to reveal mysteries to us today. So what are the general theme of the parables? Well, I believe one of the general themes that run through just about every one of the parables is the kingdom of heaven. Certainly suggested there in verse 11 again, because it's given unto you know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And it's illustrated with several parables, all which start with the kingdom of heaven is like. Right? There's that key word that we look at. Indeed, the kingdom of heaven was the theme of Jesus' itinerant ministry, His Sermon on the Mount. But there are three sub-themes that are stressed in the parables. The character of the kingdom, the character of the king, and the character of the king's subject. Now, under the character of the kingdom, we see the parable of the mustard seed, of the leaven, of the hidden treasure, of the pearl of great price. When we talk about the character of the king, we talk about the workers in the vineyard or the lost son. In the character of the king's subject, we talk about the parable of the good Samaritan or the parable of the persistent widow. Now listen, the sub-themes might overlap, in some parables, but they clearly demonstrate that overall the theme of the parables was the kingdom of heaven. And one of the things we really need to be careful about is how we interpret the parables. There's two extremes that we need to avoid. On one hand, you're looking for a spiritual truth in every single detail. Now, that's dangerous. I'll just tell you that. On the other hand, you're saying that there is only one spiritual truth in every parable. And I think that's really you'll lack a lot of the richness of the parables if you do that. You know, I believe one of the reasons that we have to be so careful is not to look for a truth with every aspect of the parable is the fact that Christ was concealing, in a sense, the truth to the multitudes. And so you can't look at every little minute aspect of every parable and pull some spiritual truth out of it. I think you'll really confuse yourself and you'll really come out with some bad theology if you're not careful. So what are some of the guidelines for proper interpretation? I think we need to learn from the explanation Jesus gives in those parables that he explained, right? The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. The Bible. And so if you have a question, and the Lord here is answering the question, isn't it great? Can you remember the first time that you ever read through some parts of Scripture? I don't know about you. I don't know that I necessarily asked myself this question, but there have been times where I've asked the question, I wonder what that means. And you keep reading. And it's great. Jesus is like, hey, here's what this means. I'm like, man, that's neat. That's great. That's exactly what I need. I don't have to go to a commentary written by man. I can go to the Lord and see, what is this really telling me? I think understanding the parable of the sower is going to help us to understand other parables. And we'll look at that in the coming weeks. Jesus went on to explain that all the different soils, and he really shows us how he begins to take from really just things that those people would have known explicitly about and teach these incredible spiritual truths from that. But we ought to look for a central truth of the parable, making sure that any truths gleaned from the parable are in harmony with that central truth. Okay? And so you're not going to talk about soil and talk about the hardness of the heart and then talk about the riches that we're going to have in heaven. Okay? Those two don't coalesce. You're looking for something that is in continuity with that main central theme. Consider, as I said this morning, we always want to look at the context of Jesus' words, looking for an introduction or an application which may give insight to what he's talking about. Remember, they're originally told to conceal, so they're not always that clear in their meaning. So don't try to build a case for some kind of doctrinal truth based on the parables. So following these sensible guidelines to interpreting the parables of Christ, we can look forward to the joy of understanding more fully than the mysteries that are revealed about the truths of the kingdom of heaven, that is. And as we get into the parables themselves, I'm hoping that we will appreciate how blessed we are to live in an age when a people who have a desire to learn about the kingdom can do so. What a great, great privilege we have. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophecies and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. You ever think about that? What we're about to embark on in this study of the parables concern things which Abraham, Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and many others looked forward to, but they didn't fully understand in their lifetime. I tell you, I just get excited about studying God's Word. When you think about how godly those men and how God used those men, but they didn't have as clear a picture, if you want to put it that way, that we have. And so we have the privilege of studying that. These mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, containing the things kept secret, if you will, from the foundation of the world, are now being made known to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 16, 25 and 26 says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to faith." And so the wonderful privilege that we have is to be able to study God's Word and allow Him to reveal to us the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You know, I know it's a little early tonight, but before we jump into the kingdom of heaven, I think that we're just going to stop here tonight. And I want you to think about that. Go through your Bible. We'll be picking up in the next week or two the parable of the four types of soil, the sower, we call it, the parable of the sower. Take some time and read that. Read Jesus' explanation. And so when we get together, you'll be ready in the next week or two or three when we start talking about it in more detail. But understand we have this great privilege. Don't neglect that privilege. Don't neglect the parables. It's a great study, and I'm looking forward to it in the coming days. And so with that, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be dismissed just a few minutes early tonight. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the privilege we have of being able to study it, how you reveal things. And Lord, even in this area of parables, these earthly stories with heavenly meanings, helping us to understand that which we cannot see by that which you have shown us. Help us to grow not only in our knowledge, but in our love for you because of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
414.
Why don't we stand and